take your breath, stop you in your steps. Fear is a liar, he will rob your rest, steal your happiness. Good morning, church. I want to welcome everyone again. I'm so glad you're here, and I pray that you're blessed today. And the week's going to be blessed. Today we continue in the series on grace. And if you missed last Sunday, you might want to catch up on just online our YouTube channel and watch it again. But we started talking about the grace. And the more we learn, the more we read, the more we study it, the more amazing and overwhelming it is. And last Sunday we talked about the power of grace to save us. And we talked about a story of a woman who was caught in adultery and how Jesus saved her, but and he said, I do not condemn you either, go and sin no more. And today we're going to move on and talk about grace as a power, not just to save us from sin, but power to give us victory. And next Sunday we're going to talk about how grace is sufficient for every need that you have in your life. And then in two Sundays from now, we're going to talk about how to be people of grace. I don't know about you, but I want to be a person of grace. And what I discovered that when it comes to relationships, we are really most of the time the Old Testament people. We want to have a tooth for tooth, an eye for an eye, but God is calling us to be people of grace. So that's kind of a roadmap for the next couple of Sundays. And then again, remember, just in four Sundays from today is we launching a second service. So April 7th, please keep that in prayer. Keep being excited, keep being plugged in and involved. We need more people to step up and plug in as we're trying to reach community with a message of hope in Jesus Christ. So the passage of scripture I have for you this morning is found in Titus. It's the book of Titus. Chapter 2, Titus comes after Timothy before Philemon. Book of Titus, chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Apostle Paul writes here, and he says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for a blessed hope, the appearing of glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you." Father, we come again before your word and we desire to be transformed by the power of your truth. I pray, Jesus, as we study again the power of grace, as we go deeper and farther into this topic of grace, grace that not only saved us, but grace that transforms us and trains us and has us stand victorious every single day of our life to please you in every way, God. I pray that you anoint us and help us to receive the word with an open heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace to give us victory. Last Sunday we talked about how grace saves us. And I want to kind of touch on that a little bit this morning as we go on to see how we stand victorious in grace and how we stand victorious over sin and everything else in our life through the power of the grace of God. You see, grace, we also finished last Sunday that grace is not a theology. Grace is not, it's not a teaching. Grace is not a philosophy. Grace is a person. And listen, if grace would be just a set of rules and philosophy or theology, then people can change their behavior by keeping the rules. But rules never change the heart of a person. And that's why when Jesus came, and when grace of God was shown, we talk about John chapter 1, that through Jesus we all receive grace upon grace. Jesus came as God's messenger of grace, as grace embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. And we are being transformed, we are being saved, not by keeping the rules, not by keeping to a theology or to philosophy. We're being saved and transformed by trusting Jesus. By trusting His record, by trusting what He accomplished on the cross. And I want to kind of segue from that, because
You see, by we have been not only saved by grace, we also have been delivered by grace. We've been rescued and delivered by grace. That's what Apostle Paul writes. Titus says, "For the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation for all people." And listen, how it practically looks is the following. God has promised in the Old Testament, He has promised that one day there will be a new covenant. And the difference in the new covenant will be the following. It says, "I will take your heart of stone. I will take your hardened heart, your broken heart, your divided heart, and I will give you a new heart. A soft heart, a loving heart, a heart that will love you." And that's the essence of grace. This is something that grace does that law could never do. Law could never transform a heart. Grace gives you a new heart. You know, we often hear stories of somebody receiving an organ transplant. We had friends who were working for a company who does organ transplants. And there's so often you hear a story of a story comes to mind that was on the news in 2010 when this one couple, they lost their 13-year-old daughter to a horrible skiing accident. And everything that could possibly happen to that, to those parents, they were horrified. It was heartbreaking. They lost their daughter in the prime of her youth. And as they were grieving, as they were preparing for, and over this, and they decided they're gonna try to redeem that somehow. So they decided to donate her body organs. And there was another lady who needed a heart very badly. She had a very bad heart condition that allowed her basically to sleep nonstop. She couldn't function at all. So this couple donated their daughter's heart with one condition: that they get to hear that heart in a transplant recipient. So the surgery went through, and sometime later they flew to meet that lady who received the heart. And they took a stethoscope, and they began to listen to a living, beating heart of their daughter. You see, the body was different. Their daughter was dead, but that heart was beating right there. It was the same heart that was beating in their daughter. You see, what happens when we get saved, when we come to Christ, He doesn't come and says, "Listen, I'm going to try to fix your life. Let's kind of figure out how we can kind of repair, salvage the mess that you've made." No. God didn't come to give you to improve your heart, to repair your heart. Jesus came to give you a new heart. And what happens when I'm saved, the heart of Jesus, listen, the heart of Jesus is beating in my spirit. So when God looks at you, when God looks at me, and He's listening to your heart, He's not hearing my heart, He's hearing the heart of His Son, Jesus Christ. See, that's grace. That's the new heart. That's the power of transformation by the grace of God. I get to receive a new heart that will love God, because my old heart was hopeless. It was full of sin. It was prone to sin. It wanted badly to live in rebellion against God. And that heart was beyond being salvaged. God needed to give me a new heart. That's why Apostle Paul says, "It is no longer I who live, but what? But Christ who lives in me." You see, that's living by grace. It's when I'm not just trying to keep certain rules or trying to keep ascribe to certain theology or set of understandings. It's when it's a relationship. You see, you cannot have a relationship with a teaching. You can only have a relationship with a person. And that's what's different about grace, is because grace gave you a relationship. And grace gave you a new heart. And grace enabled God to see you as He sees His own Son, Jesus Christ. That's grace. That's the power of grace. So, Apostle Paul says, "The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people." And then he continues. This, he doesn't stop there. He, verse 12, he says, "Training us to renounce all ungodliness." You see, grace of God does not stop with saving you. A lot of people stop with the grace as soon as they got saved. My sins are forgiven, praise God, I'm happy. But that's not just what the grace is for. Grace is for every single day of your life. God has given you grace to live victorious, to live in joy, to live in power, to live an abundant life. And this is what Apostle Paul continues the thought. He says, grace of God appeared bringing salvation to us, but he didn't stop there. He says, but he also trains us to renounce all ungodliness and to live a holy life, a sensible life. Grace of God enables us to be people who are zealous for good works. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the second thought about not just being rescued and delivered by grace, not just having this heart transplant, but also being trained by grace. Because you see, heart transplant is an event. It happens to you. And you have it. Salvation is an event, while training is a process, right? That's why Scripture says we are to grow. 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, I can grow in grace. I can receive more grace. I can learn to rely more on grace. I can learn to live more in grace. I can learn to give more grace to other people. So God is calling us not just to receive grace, not just to be saved by grace, not just to be rescued and delivered by grace. God is calling us to grow, to be trained by the grace of God. And he explains what grace of God trains us to do. First, he says he trains us to renounce ungodliness. If I can break it down in a bit more practical way, I would say this is the process of how grace trains us. You see, although you have a new heart, that new heart is beating in a body that still has to be redeemed. You see, you're still prone to sin. We are still, just because we are saved, it doesn't mean we cannot sin. It doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. It doesn't mean that we don't make foolish decisions. We all know people who claim to be Christians, but they don't look like one. They don't live like one. They don't act like one. That's what we call them, what? Hypocrites. And people just levy this accusation against the church, say, hey, church is just full of hypocrites. Well, I always say, it's better to have them in church than have them somewhere else. Let them come. But listen, that's why we have to grow in grace. Because the more you grow in grace, the more you renounce your old lifestyle, the more you realize, hey, it's not me, but Christ who lives in me. I can't possibly go back to that because Christ who is in me has given me authority to live a different life. So grace of God begins to train us. Now what happens? Well, I'm a child of God and I still fall and I still make mistakes and I sin. You know what happens? Devil comes in and says, hey, look at you. How could you possibly do that? You call yourself Christian, you are, the shame on you. And he begins to levy the accusation and the shame and the guilt. And you know what happens is that we kind of cringe a little bit and we feel we need to wallow in guilt before we go back to God. We need to punish ourselves before we go back to God asking for forgiveness. But listen, that's the old thinking. You know what the Word of God says? That we are to run with boldness to the throne of grace to receive what? Mercy and grace in time of need. What is mercy? Mercy is not receiving the punishment that I deserve. Grace is receiving favor that I don't deserve. So what if I need to run to the throne of grace to receive mercy, means I need mercy, right? Means you need mercy. So what God is saying, listen, every time you stumble, every time you fall, every time you sin, don't wallow there. Don't stay there. Don't stay in that sin. Don't stay in that pity. Run back to God as fast as you can. The very next second, when you realize I've blown it, run back to God. Because listen, the longer you stay in that state of accusation and judgment, the longer devil will take advantage of that. Right? And like he comes up, we talked about last time, these weird false versions of grace when it says, hey, you got to pay for it. Man, you've blown it. You got to pay for that, right? You have to do something. You have to, you know, pray more, read more. He comes up with things so you can earn God's favor and then come back and say, you know what, God, I'm kind of blown in this much, but listen, I've did this much, so let's kind of call it even. See, that's not grace. That's devil's version of grace. You can never possibly pay for a single sin you've committed. Jesus Christ paid for that. You see, God's grace is undeserved favor, but just because it's undeserved, it doesn't mean that it's dispensed unconditionally. Bible says that God opposes the proud, but He does what? He gives grace to the humble. And says, therefore, humble yourself before the presence of God. You see, if I want to receive more grace, there's one condition to receive grace, is to realize I need it. Okay? Is to realize that I can't possibly rescue myself. I can't possibly pay for this. I can't possibly undo what I've just done. Only God can do that. And I run back to the throne of grace and say, God, I need your mercy. I need your grace. And listen, grace of God is training us to have this as a natural habit. Because guess what? You're all going to make mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to fall into sin. But the point is not to stay there. The point is to run as fast as you can from the darkness, from that mess, from the brokenness. Run back to God. Run back to God. Run back to be restored by God's grace, to be forgiven and washed by the blood of Jesus. Listen, sometimes grace of God will train you, and it's going to take some difficult circumstances to learn that. But it's very important to distinguish that even when I'm going through a difficult time, even when grace of God, listen, even the grace of God puts me in a circumstances that feel very tight. They feel almost like they are punitive in some way. You have to remember always that God never punishes you for sins. God punished Jesus for your sin. And that's the essence of grace, that listen, even when I'm disciplined by God, even when God puts me in circumstances to learn the lesson, it is not to punish me for my sin. It is to train me to walk in righteousness. Only Jesus could be punishment for my sin. That's the great difference in grace, because, you know, every time you fall, every time you sometimes go through natural consequence of sin, devil says, hey, you're paying for it. You're paying for it. And he perverts it somehow that, hey, if you just pay for it long enough, maybe God's going to be okay with that. No. God is only okay with the payment of Jesus Christ. That's the only currency that God accepts, is the blood of Jesus. My own righteousness, my own efforts, they're worthless. When it comes to earning grace, he can't earn it. He can only receive it. So grace of God is training us to renounce all unrighteousness. And he's training us to come back to God, to run back to God, and let it be a habit. Let it be this something that comes so automatic that you don't have to think about it. Every time I stumble, every time I've blown it, I run back to the throne room of God. And I say, God, I need your mercy again. God, I need your grace again. And that when that becomes a habit, all of a sudden my body, my soul, my spirit, which has the heart of Jesus beating in it, it begins to follow the pattern. And it's a pattern of grace. It's not a pattern of I blow it, I come back to God, blow it, come back to God. No, it's a pattern of victory. It's a trajectory of going from defeat to victory. And victory, and victory. But listen, it's only available, it's only possible by the grace of God. If you could do it by your own discipline, then those religious Pharisees would have done it, but they couldn't do that. There was no more disciplined people than those religious Pharisees in the New Testament, but Jesus said their righteousness, it was worthless. Yes, discipline is good, but discipline is that's empowered by grace. Not disciplined. If you holding out with the skin of your teeth so I won't mess up, you will mess up. The only way you won't mess up is when the relationship with Jesus is so strong, it's so prevailing, it's so overwhelming in your heart to say, I couldn't possibly do that to Jesus who is living in me. Have you ever owned a dog? Have you ever seen a dog that goes down the street? And it's a puppy. And usually this is how it goes. It either drags the owner, right? Kind of like that. Or owner's dragging that puppy, right? But then you also sometimes, once in a while, you see a dog that's kind of doesn't have any leash anymore. Doesn't even have a collar. And he just walks very nicely next to the owner. When the owner stops, the dog stops. When the owner sits down, the dog sits down. See, that's a trained dog. right? And they're not born like that. They're trained to become like that. And that owner and that pet, they have a relationship. And that pet can discern the facial features of their owner. And they can do that without being told, without being yelled, without being jerked by the thing. They know because they have been trained to know the will of the owner. You see, when I'm trying to live my life just by the power of rules and regulations, it's kind of like being on a leash. Don't do that. Don't go there. This is too far. That's too fast. Slow down. And guess what? We all know how it works. We blow it. It's miserable. Because I haven't seen anybody who's been excited to be on the leash. It's hard. It's confining. It's bondage. But listen, when you develop a relationship with grace, when you develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, when you discern, when you learn to hear the heartbeat of Jesus within you, then you don't have to be told every single time, don't do that. Why have you done it again? Don't go there. Don't hang out with those people. Don't say that. Don't say it like that. You don't have to be reminded over and over again because you are being trained. You have been trained by grace. And all of a sudden you become a person who knows the heart of God. And all of a sudden that heart of Jesus that's beating within you, it's influencing you every area of your life. And you're becoming a person of grace. You have been trained. You have grown in the grace of God. And listen, we all need that. Amen. I don't care how long you've been Christians, we all can grow in grace. And see, when I'm growing in grace, my life becomes less and less sinful. But it's not more and more judgmental to other people. I don't look around and say, hey, I don't do that anymore, what you do right now. You know why? Because the only reason I don't do that is because of the grace of God within me. It's not because I'm a better person. It's not because I've tried harder. It's not because I prayed more, I studied more. It's only because I got to know the grace of God more. And you can do the same thing. See, that's the power of being people of grace. You can take people from defeat and bondage unto victory and freedom. You don't have to judge them. You just introduce them to grace of God. You show them the grace of God, how it changed you, and it can change them. Amen. Grow in the grace of God. Grace of God delivers us. Grace of God trains us. And last thought I want to share with you is the grace of God helps us stand victorious. Jude chapter 1 verse 24 says the following, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy." You know, that's a scripture I prayed for a very long time over and over. Every time I would fall into sin, every time I would struggle, I would come back to that and say, God, you are able to keep me from falling back to that. Listen, grace of God is stronger than your sin. Grace of God is stronger than your addiction. Grace of God is stronger than the sinful relationship you're keeping in your life. Grace of God is stronger than any sinful habit I have. Grace of God is stronger than that. If I wasn't able to get myself free from that, it's because I haven't grown in grace enough. I haven't gotten to know Jesus enough. My relationship with Him is still not very strong. That's why I go back to that bondage. But Jude says something amazing here. He says that, listen, God is not only able to rescue you. God is not only able to pick you up from the pit and pick you up from the bondage and pick you up from your sin and from the shame and clean you up and rescue you. Praise God that He did that. I mean, we love that. We love that about God. We love that about grace. And listen, we all have history, amen? Excuse me. We all have a history. Apostle Paul says that, and such were some of you, and he lists these horrendous sins. And then he also says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. You see, people who sit around you, they all have history. We all have things we're not proud of, we are ashamed of. And grace of God rescued us from there. Grace of God delivered us. Grace of God cleaned us up. And grace of God is training us to never go back there again, to live a different life. But grace of God has something else that's so powerful. Grace of God is able to keep me from falling. You see, God is not only able to rescue me from my sin, God is not only able to forgive my sin, God is able to keep me from falling in sin. And we need to learn that. We need to pray that over our lives. We need to repeat it over our spirit. We need to grow in that. Because that is so the grace of God. That God is able to keep me standing. Now listen, the testimonies I mentioned last Sunday, that our testimonies become not that, hey, yes, I was in sin, I was in bondage, I was in a moral relationship, or I was in alcohol, I was in drugs, but I was tempted to do something, but I didn't do that because of the grace of God. Oh yes, I was tempted to cheat and I was tempted to defraud somebody, but I didn't do that because of the heart of God beating within me. That's grace. Grace is not only giving me favor when I don't deserve it. Grace is enabling me not to come to the place where even I need forgiveness. Because it keeps me from falling into pattern of sin and destruction and unrighteousness. Oh church, if we could only fathom how awesome, how amazing, how powerful is the grace of God. And if you tap into that, if you drink the grace of God, receive the grace of God daily, it will change your life. It will absolutely transform your life. You see, devil lied to us about grace. You know, we receive it in such a small measures. We receive it in such a small little versions. Oh yes, yeah, I need the grace of God. I've blown it again. And we kind of begin to treat it as this medicine that, you know, when I'm sick, you know, I'm going to come and get some antibiotics and that's the only thing I need it for. You see, you need grace daily. That's what we're going to talk about next Sunday, how grace of God is enough to meet your every need. You have broken relationship, you need grace. You have broken body, you need grace. You live in the brokenness of your past, you need grace. You have rebellious children, or you have prodigal sons and daughters, you need grace. Grace is enough to meet your every need. It's the power of the grace of God. Don't cheapen it. Don't be stingy. Don't come to God and say, God, I need it today. Listen, I don't know what you're dealing with this morning, but I know the grace of God is the answer for that. Amen? Just say, God, I need it today. And that's going to be a prayer right now as we finish off this morning, as we pray. Say, God, I need more of your grace. I need to be, maybe you're still battling that bondage. You say, God, deliver me. God, rescue me. God, rip me out of the bondage. Rip me out of the darkness. I want to be a person of light. Give me a new heart. Or maybe you need to say, God, I want to be trained by your grace. I want to train and break that cycle of bondage and falling into sin and feeling guilty and wallowing in pity and coming up and asking forgiveness to running back to you as soon as I fall to receive forgiveness's grace, and as soon as I realize I need it. So my life will go on a trajectory to victory and victory and victory and glory unto God. Amen. Let's be on our feet. We're going to pray. Father, I thank you for the grace of God. I thank you that the grace of God is, it's more than enough, God. It's more than enough for every need. Because of the grace of God, we are saved. It's not of ourselves. It's not of our works, God. Nobody can boast that I've earned it. I've somehow can lay any claim that it's mine. I deserved it, God. It's unmerited. It's undeserved. And Father, I pray that we'll tap into that greatness of the grace of God. That our answer to a holy living is not try to be more disciplined, but to be disciplined by the grace of God. That the discipline and the common sense and victory that comes into my life, it's not because of my willpower, but because of God's power living in me. Because if I try to do it by myself, I will blow it. I will mess it up again and again, just like I've done it so many times before. But when Jesus is living in me, when Jesus is talking through me, when Jesus is loving through me, then I can go from victory to victory, from glory to glory. Oh God, we need so much of your grace. We need it this morning. We need it in our lives. We need it in our marriages. We need it in our parenting. We need it in our relationships, God. We need it in our jobs and our ministry. We need the grace of God. And today, Father, we come and we humble ourselves and we want to acknowledge that we need so much more of your grace. We thank you for grace that saved us. We thank you for grace that delivered us. We thank you for grace that trains us. We thank you for grace that makes us stand faultless, victorious, and will take us through all the way unto heaven, God. Your word says you will present us blameless, blameless in the presence of God. Not because I've improved my record, God, because of the record of Jesus Christ, which is blameless. Oh, God. I pray right now for every person here who's struggling. Maybe they're struggling with darkness, with depression. Maybe they're struggling with sinful habits. Maybe they are in sinful relationship this morning. I pray, Father, the grace of God will come over their life, God. It will take them out of that bondage. Take them out of that cycle of defeat and to a cycle of victory and to a cycle of glory, to glory, to glory. Help us, God, to submit to the process of training, being trained by your grace. Being trained to receive it. Not trying to pay for it. Not trying to earn it. Not trying to clean ourselves up so God can accept us more, but trusting Jesus alone to be accepted by God. I bless everyone here this morning. I bless the week ahead of us, and I speak the grace of God in you every day of this week in Jesus' name. Grace in your home, grace in your relationship, grace in your body, grace in your soul and your spirit. Grace in every encounter you have with people, in every conversation you will have, in every decision you will make. Grace of God. Receive it in Jesus' name. Yes, God, we receive it. We receive your grace for today. We receive your grace for this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church. Go in the grace of God. Be a blessing to somebody. There's refreshments and coffee in the fellowship hall. God bless you.